Abani Ghani, everyone. This is Professor Amin Ra, Professor Emeritus, California State University, Africana Studies Department, former city councilman for the city of Compton, former Compton College Board of Trustees, former Compton Unified School District Board of Trustees, and student of Kawi, the philosophy created by Dr. Malalana Karanga. I just wanted to say welcome, everyone. You found your family in a peaceful place. And we hope that you really enjoy this presentation, a very special presentation by a very special person. And we want to get started right away because I'm looking forward to the lessons. I hope you got your pencils and paper to take notes because you're going to enjoy this presentation. And I know because I've been a student for over 40 years and I love it. I haven't stopped yet. So I just want to encourage you to take notes, get information. Because you're going to find out from the official Kwanzaa creator, the only Kwanzaa creator, Dr. Malalana Karanga, and the organization, us, that helped institute the holiday, and the people that have supported it are from around the world in every continent. And we just want to thank all of you for your support and for your zooming in to hear this presentation. I'm going to turn it over to Saba Chimbuku Tembo to introduce Dr. Karanga, and she will do that in just a minute. Let me get myself together. I'm going to introduce Saba Chimbuku Tembo. She's a Moor teacher from the Ma tradition, and she's also the associate director of the African American Culture Center, the US organization. She's a Saba, a Moor teacher in the Kawaida Ma tradition. She's a lecturer, and that means professor, in the Department of Africana Studies at Cal State Long Beach, as well as she's the publisher of San Croix Press. And above that, she's a picture and an image, along with all the other sisters of the organization, of Black womanism. And they've done extensive studies on that. Her and Saba Tia Moya, Dr. Karanga's wife, written papers on womanism and diversity and all kind of excellent things. So I'm going to let Saba Saba Chimbuku Tembo introduce Dr. Malalana Karanga. Yebo.
Asante, Professor Ra, you're much too kind, Asante, for that introduction. It's truly my distinct honor to introduce the speaker for today, Saba Dr. Malalana Karanga. Saba Dr. Malalana Karanga is the creator of this beautiful, spiritually and culturally grounding, life-affirming, dignity-affirming, African-American and Pan-African cultural holiday of Kwanzaa, which he created in 1966 at the age of 25. Can you believe it? At the age of 25. And he created Kwanzaa through the highest levels of sustained and rigorous research on African cultures and languages. Didn't come to him in a dream one day, didn't float in from the sea or drop from the sky. But it came from sustained and rigorous research on African cultures and languages. It also came from his self-determined scholarship, his conceptual generation, his creative genius, and as an ongoing labor of love for his people and his culture. As you know, Kwanzaa is now celebrated by millions and millions of people throughout the world, African community, on every continent in the world. Dr. Karanga is also the creator of the Nguzo Saba, the seven principles, the African communitarian principles, which are the hub and hinge around which the holiday Kwanzaa turns. Moreover, he serves as professor and chair of the Department of Africana Studies at California State University, Long Beach. Dr. Karanga is also the founder and chair of the organization US, that is US African People, and the National Association of Kawaida Organizations, NACO. He is also co-chair, along with Ms. Jackie Ryan, of the Black Community Clergy and Labor Alliance. That's a Black United Front here in Southern California, which brings together a broad spectrum of Black organizations and persons to work collectively on the challenges facing us as a people. Furthermore, Dr. Kring is the author of numerous scholarly articles and books, including Kwanzaa, A Celebration of Family, Community, and Culture, which is the authoritative text for the holiday, Introduction to Black Studies, Selections from the Husiya, Sacred Wisdom of Ancient Egypt, Odu Ifa, The Ethical Teachings, and Mat, The Moral Ideal in Ancient Egypt, A Study in Classical African Ethics. Moreover, Dr. Kring is the subject of a book authored by Dr. Molefe Keti-Asante, which is titled Maulana Karinga, An Intellectual Portrait. And Dr. Kring is currently working on a monumental work on Haji Minister Malcolm X, which is titled The Liberation Ethics of Malcolm X, Critical Consciousness, Moral Grounding, and Transformative Struggle. Dr. Karinga is also a Seba, that is, a moral teacher in the Kawida Mat tradition. Dr. Karinga's creation of Kwanzaa is integral to and is consistent with his life's work, which is a Sankofa project of recovering the deep cultural treasures, the ethical lessons, and the enduring and instructive models from our culture. Taking all this, these treasures from our culture, and making them accessible to us so that we can use them to be ourselves and to free ourselves and to direct our lives towards good and expansive ends. Brothers and sisters, friends and guests, co-combatants in the struggle for a good world, please give a warm African welcome to Seba Dr. Maulana Karinga.
Bring him on.
La la, la la.
Bring him on. Yeah. Bring him on. That's right.
You're on mute, Seba Dr. Karinga.
Oh, Santi, I'm sorry. I want to say Santi Sana for the introduction, and Santi Seba Chimbuko, and Santi to my brother, friend, and co-combatant, brother Professor Amin Ra, soldier, constant soldier, never ready, not even once. And I'd like to start by saying, Karibuni, welcome, in our language, Swahili. Karibuni, ndugu na dada, jamaa rafiki na wageni, mekuta jamaa yenu na mahali pa amani. Tunawatakia baraka bila idadi na vitu vyote vizuri bila mwisho. I said, welcome, brothers and sisters, family and friend, guests. You found your family in a peaceful place, and we wish for you blessings without number and all good things without end. And we bear witness as an African people that as our beginning was great and good, so shall our development throughout eternity be, if we dare speak truth, if we dare struggle, speak truth, do justice, and walk in the way of righteousness. We always give offerings and sacred words, practicing the morality of remembrance to our honored ancestors. Surely it is written in the Husiya, our sacred text, of our honored ancestors, that to do that which is of value is forever, and a person called forth by their work do not die, for their name is raised and remembered because of it. And so we say to all our ancestors, great and small, homage to you, beautiful black and radiant spirit. You shall always be for us glorious spirits in heaven and a continuing powerful presence on earth. You are counted and honored as our sacred ancestors. Your name shall endure as a monument, and the good you've done on earth shall never perish or pass away. Let us all say, Hotep.
Hotep.
Ashe.
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 Hedi.
Hedi.
This humble offering has been given, may be received with the love, the honor, and commitment which it was made. Again, let us say, Hotep.
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 Ashe.
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 Hedi.
Hedi.
So we want to talk seriously about celebrating Kwanzaa. And we ask that question, what is this serious celebrating of Kwanzaa? It's to speak of carefully considering its message and meaning, its origin, its values, right? Its practice, the history. And then for us to practice these values in the ways we live our lives, do our work, and wage our struggle. If we are to seriously celebrate Kwanzaa, We must come together in remembrance, in reflection, and recommitment. We must remember our past to know and honor it. We reflect on our present to engage it and improve it. And we commit ourselves to free ourselves and imagine a whole new future and forge it in the most ethical, effective, and expansive way. Also, we must constantly study and learn the deep meaning and expansive message of Kwanzaa found in the Nguzo Saba, the seven principles, and in Kwanzaa's history, in its significance, in its symbols, and in the philosophy of Kawa Ida, our philosophy, out of which I created both the Nguzo Saba and Kwanzaa. So the history of Kwanzaa has three basic aspects: a cultural aspect, a political aspect, and an intellectual and creative aspect. Culture, in that I did major research, went back, studied oral, written, living practice texts, brought them forward in the Sankofa project, and created a holiday called Kwanzaa. It's political in that it was born in the Black Freedom Movement, and therefore it has aspects of that, the struggle for freedom, the struggle for justice, the right to self-determination, and constant, righteous, and relentless struggle to bring good into the world. And again, it was an intellectual and creative thing. A lot of times people say, oh, somebody helped him do that, somebody did it. But they don't have the intellectual evidence of that. They don't have the intellectual evidence of the language they learned, the cultures they studied, the pieces they wrote, the conversation they had. That's just the white man. That's the Aryan hand. And, of course, some people that just have issues. And so we've got to work with that. We work with people who make such awesome and unnecessary and, of course, untruthful claim. And it's hard for them to imagine a black man doing this. If a white man done it, oh, there'd be no question, right? But a black man to do it, somebody must have helped him. Somebody must have done something with him, you know? And especially a black nationalist, you know? People that put Africa at the center of their lives, right? No compromise. Seeing Africa as our moral idea. Not somebody else, not from some other country or continent or city, right? Not from other cultures, but from Africa. We always ask, what does Africa have to say? That's our distinction, right? And we don't just say it. We have text to prove it. Oral text, written text, living practice text. So Kwanzaa was shaped by this culture initiative, what you call now Sankofa, reaching back in history to retrieve the best of our views and values and practices and using them to ground and enhance our lives. The origins of Kwanzaa as a celebration of family, community, and culture are both ancient and modern. Kwanzaa, first of all, is rooted in and rises from the ancient harvest celebrations of Africa. Call them these first fruit celebrations. And they were organized around five fundamental activities which Kwanzaa embraces and continues. It was first of these holidays. It was first a time of ingathering of the people. Just like you ingather the crop, the harvest, you ingather the people first, right? Bring them together to reaffirm the bonds between them as persons and people. Second is a time of special reverence for the Creator and the creation, and thanks and respect for the blessings, bountifulness, and beauty of the creation, and our recommitment to preserve and protect the world through which the abundant good of our harvest is made possible. Third, it was a time of commemoration of the past in pursuit of this lesson, learning the lessons of our history, our sacred narrative, right? And in practice of the morality of remembrance of our ancestors, whose lives offer us models of human excellence and possibility, and give us mirrors by which we measure ourselves. Fourth, the first fruit celebration, harvest celebration, were a time of recommitment to our highest culture, ideas, and our ongoing effort to bring forth and be the best of what it means to be African and human in the fullest sense. Values that teach us to speak, to seek and speak truth, to demand and do justice, to honor our elders and our ancestors, to cherish and challenge our children, to care for the poor and vulnerable among us, to have a rightful relationship with the environment, to constantly struggle against evil, injustice, and oppression, and always, always raise up praise in pursuit of good. And five, the SIP First Fruit Celebration in Kwanzaa is a time for celebration of the good in and of the world, the good of family, community, and culture, the good of loving kindness and care, the good of respect for ourselves and others, the good of life and of love and of sharing, and together working to build and sustain the good world we all want and deserve to live in. Secondly, though, Kwanzaa is informed by and undergirded by the Black Freedom Movement of the 60s and what it means. The sustained struggle to be ourselves. The sustained struggle to free ourselves, to be ourselves, and reaffirm our Africanness and our liberation and social justice tradition. Especially relevant to Kwanzaa's fundamental message and meaning is a movement and its stress on freedom, on self-determination, on struggle, on justice, on cultural integrity, and returning to the source, ancient Africa, to recover paradigms and possibilities of excellence. Kwanzaa thus came into being, grounded itself, and grew as first an act of freedom, second an instrument of freedom, third a celebration of freedom, and fourth a practice of freedom. Kwanzaa was created and developed as first an act of freedom, of self-determination, of self-authorization. We did not petition the city council or the state government or the federal government to recognize a holiday. In fact, we made the holiday not simply local, state, or national. We made it international, a Pan-African holiday, now celebrated by millions throughout the world, African community on every continent in the world. It's an act of self-determination. We authorize ourselves to celebrate and sing ourselves, right? Second, it became an instrument of freedom, a means of cultivating and expanding consciousness and commitment. It's a time to think being African, being Black, being involved in a righteous and religious struggle to expand the realm of freedom and justice and goodness in the world. Third, Kwanzaa became a celebration of freedom. Everyone thinks essentially of the celebration. It's a celebration of freedom, though, a righteous reveling in our recaptured sense of the sacredness, soulfulness, and beauty of our Black selves, right? To say, I'm Black and I'm proud. We are a winner. We are beautiful. We are sacred and soulful, right? I mean, that's a whole different kind of understanding. And to walk the sevenfold path of Blackness, to think Black, to talk Black, to act Black, to create Black, to buy Black, to vote Black, and to live Black. Finally, it's a practice of freedom, the practice of the Nguzo Saba and other principles that engendered and sustained liberated and liberating way to understand and assert ourselves in the world. To talk of liberated words, words liberated from Eurocentric influence. To talk about liberating is that which helps us to create in heart and mind and practice conditions and capacities to develop and flourish and come into the fullness of ourselves. And so if you practice it, people always say, we need to practice principles. Oh, you're right. That's right. If you do it, then guess what? It's a practice of freedom, right? Bringing you closer to your own true Black selves and away from this kind of entanglement, cutting the umbilical cord to the oppressor, breaking the chains that bind us to the oppressor, speaking our own special culture truth, making our own unique contribution to how this society and world or reconceived and reconstructed. What is the significance of Kwanzaa then in these times? I created Kwanzaa in the 1960s in the midst of the Black Freedom Movement to achieve four basic goals. First, to contribute to the advancement of the liberation struggle. I quit my doctoral studies for my first doctorate at UCLA and asked myself, how do I make a contribution? Because Dr. Mary McLeod-Bethune, it said, people who have knowledge, you know, must understand knowledge is the prime need of the hour, but we want to know what you're going to do with your knowledge. And she says, it's up to us who have knowledge to discover the dawn and then share it with the masses of our people and our youth who needed more. And so I came out to do just that, to contribute to the advancement of our struggle. Second, I wanted to reaffirm our rootedness in African culture. We had gotten away from our culture. The European had made us ashamed to say African, right? We wanted to reaffirm our rootedness in African culture and to aid in a liberating return to our history and culture. In fact, Nana Amica Brown said that one of the central aims of the liberation struggle is to return to our own history and culture. Yeah. And Nana Sekou Touré says that the liberation struggle is actually an act of culture. Third, I wanted to provide a context and time for us to come together all over the world as African people, reaffirm the bonds between us, and to reflect on the awesome meaning of being African in the world. What does it mean to be the fathers and mothers of humanity and human civilization, right? The elders of the world, what does that mean? To be the fathers and mothers, not only of humanity, but of human civilization, to have introduced some of the basic disciplines of human knowledge, to create the great non-valid civilization where Jew, Gentile, Hittite, Hyksos, Rome, Greek, Persian, all came to study and learn, calling our center of civilization the light of the world, the womb of the world, right? An enabler of the world. I think it's very important for us to see that, to be the center of the world, right, in our time. And so what does that give us? A model to emulate and a mirror by which we measure ourselves. And you notice that all over the world, on every continent of the world, as we've said, millions of Africans celebrate this holiday. And more than any other time, focus on being Black, being African. Maybe they wear the clothes, say a few phrases, light the candles, learn the language of the holiday, right? All millions of them everywhere in the world. I mean, that's a significant achievement, right? And then fourth, I created it to introduce and reinforce the importance of African communitarian values, especially the Nguzo Saba, the seven principles, which, as you know, are Umoja, unity, Kujichagulia, self-determination, Ujima, collective work and responsibility, Ujamaa, cooperative economics, neo-purpose, Kumba, creativity, and Imani, faith. The significance and ultimate meaning of Kwanzaa, then, as a cultural practice of self-determination, cultural grounding and conscious raising, and celebration and family and community building lies with our people. And they're taking Kwanzaa and the Nguzo Saba seriously in beautiful, deep, and meaningful way. And they have done just this and must continue to do so in spite of the naysayers and detractors. Indeed, Kwanzaa, with its core principles, the Nguzo Saba unite African people and us in ways no other holiday and shared principles do. Think about that. It brings us together, Black people, across land and sea, from various continents and countries, from various religious traditions, political persuasion, classes, ages, and generations, on the common ground of our Africanness, our culture and peoplehood, in all its historical and current distinctiveness and diversity. Its significance lies also in the fact that it reaffirmed the value of the principle and practice of operational unity, which I introduced as a fundamental principle in the 60s. And I define that operational unity as unity and diversity, unity and principle, purpose, and practice in liberated and liberating way. It's also a contribution to and a present representation of a lived Pan-Africanism. Surely the celebration of the holiday and the practice of its principles by millions of African people on every continent throughout the world, African community, and the use of the principles in various ways in their lives, in our people's lives, are a testimony to Kwanzaa's and the Nguzo Saba's meaning to us as a world African community. People take the principle, they name their children after them. They name their organizations after them. They name their projects after them, right? They embrace them as a fundamental way to ground themselves, orient themselves, and direct their lives toward good and expansively. And Kwanzaa and Nguzo Savo offer critical common ground for African-centered views and values for our liberational and uplifting struggles for an inclusive and shared good in the world. Celebrated in North America, U.S., Canada, etc., in Mexico, the Caribbean, right? Throughout the islands, in Africa, right? In South America, in Asia, and in Europe. Mm-hmm. Wherever Black people are, they gather to celebrate this holiday and to lift up the light, the lasting light of these principles. Every holiday has its symbols and so does Kwanzaa. And it's important that we learn the symbols and that we not let our oppressor be our teacher and tell us how to design our symbols or to take just the meaning of our symbol. One of the focus for a culturally grounded conversation on Kwanzaa, on the deep meanings and message embedded, is deep meaning and message embedded in the symbols of Kwanzaa. Indeed, each symbol is a source and point of departure for a serious conversation on African views and values and the practices that are rooted in and reflected of the. The first symbol of the mazao, the crop, which is symbols of the African first harvest celebration of which Kwanzaa takes its model and essential meaning. The mazao represent the harvest of good and the reward of collective and productive work. Every symbol means something. The second symbol of Kwanzaa is Mkeka, the mat, symbolic of our tradition and history, and thus the foundation on which we build our life. In a word, our culture. It stresses the need of foundation, of culture anchor, to ground and center ourselves. The Kinata, the candle holder, the seven candle holder, seven-point candle holder, is the next symbol of Kwanzaa. It is symbolic of our roots, our parent people, our continental African ancestors. Although in both principle and practice, this in a larger sense includes all our ancestors, continental and diaspora. But stress was placed at the beginning on continental roots because we had to return to our original source, to the original source of our history, to the original source of our culture, to the original source of our coming into being as a people. But again, this is a symbol of our roots. Mm-hmm. And here it's important to note that we should not ever use a Jewish menorah or something that looks like a Jewish menorah for a Kwanzaa Kinata or Kwanzaa candle holder. Mm-hmm. It violates the integrity of both holiday, Kwanzaa and Hanukkah. And so they put on the internet so many false versions of Kwanzaa Kinata. But all of these, whether they're round or V, right, or square, they represent a takeoff of the Jewish menorah. And why would we do that? Why would we do that, right? We talk about other people appropriating our culture. Why would you appropriate somebody else's culture? And you don't even need it. You know, the most popular Kinata is just the throne we created and conceived. And people now just use it ordinarily. We didn't have a patent on it. People just did it. Pyramid is also a favorite one. This is one the Pharaoh is. These are Kinata that people made and gave me as present. So I'm just using. Here's just a geometric symbol. And here's a pharaonic boat or an ancient Egyptian boat as a candle holder. Here's one that one of our, the chair of our NACO, Philadelphia chapter, Say Bye to Maisha Ngoza, created for the celebration of Kwanzaa in the city of Philadelphia. This is one created in the city of Detroit. You see it as the largest one. To place, and so there's a meaning of even, before you even light the candle, of placing the candle. To place the candles in the Kinata is to remind ourselves of the ancient culture in which our principles are rooted and to reaffirm the enduring value of returning to the source. And to light the Mishumah, which are the candles, the black, red, and green candles, is to engage in the ancient ritual of lifting up the light that lasts, for the principles of the light that lasts in the midst of constant and often disrupted and diversionary changes and challenges that occur in life. I really want you to see this because, you know, we these candles mean something. Do you see the black, red, and green candle, right? The black is in the center. The red's to the left. The red, the right, the green is to the right. And there's an order to placing them that way and an order to lighten them. So the first candle put in is a black candle. The second one is the red candle. The third one is green. And then from inside to out, we light the candles. So the candles represent the seven principles, but they also represent the people, the struggle, and the future. The black candle represents the people. That's why it's first. The red candle represents struggle. That's why it's second. And the green candle represents the future forged in struggle. So first the people, then their struggle, and then the future that is forged in struggle. And we light them until they're finished. Now, some people use it, you know, the iron hand is always busy. So the iron hand would argue, oh, why did you change the Honorable Marcus Garvey's colors and all that? That doesn't make sense. People not even studying. First of all, anybody can use any colors. I mean, there's not like somebody can use a color. I mean, I don't know who thought of that. But second, the continental Africans have black, red, and green, but they order them in different ways. Other people do the same thing. So that's not a problem. Nana Garvey's flag will always be our Pan-African flag, a symbol of our Pan-African unity. This is Kwanzaa. This is not the symbol replacing the flag we all commit to. So I just want you to know that. I mean, if you have any more questions, please ask them. But I mean, I think that should be clear, and you can see all that is agent provocateur kind of conversation. So when we light the candle, we say we're lifting up the light that lasts. And it is not only a wish for the good they bring, these principles bring when practiced, but also is to commit ourselves and recommit ourselves to practice them in the small and larger circles of work and struggle in our life. The larger circles, large and small circles of our lives, our work, and our struggle. The next symbol is a mushumaa. It's a muhindi, that is a coin. More specifically, it's a representative ears of corn. And they are another symbol of coins. They are symbolic of our children and thus our future, which they embody in the agriculture and naturalistic understanding of African community society. The life cycle of corn represents the life cycle of both humans and nature in which they are embedded. So, you know, one ear of corn produces, you know, a whole field. Right? So there's a life cycle here. Here there's strong stress on the quality of parenting and collective parenthood. For parenting is not only the responsibility of a specific mother and father, but also extends to the extended, but a responsibility of the extended family of other relatives and the community as a whole. This is the meaning of the often cited wisdom that it takes a whole village or community to raise a child. And it speaks to both the importance and inclusiveness of the task of raising children in the most ethically and culturally grounded way. The Kikombe Cha Umoja, the Unity Cup, is symbolic of the foundational principle and practice of Umoja, which makes all else possible. Umoja is the first principle because without Umoja, nothing is possible. And in mind is the last principle, but because without faith in what we're doing, in the righteousness and victory of our struggle, how do we struggle? And the Kikombe is used to drink from after statement of unity in a ritual of reinforcement of the principle and practice. And it is also used in pouring tambiko, libation, in a ritual remembrance. honor and appreciation of our ancestors and their legacy of excellence, which we are obligated to preserve, expand, and pass on. Zawadi are gifts. They're symbolic of the labor and love of our parents, rewarding the children for commitments made and commitments kept. These gifts are never to be overly expensive or a substitute for ourselves. And they must always contain two items, a heritage symbol and a book. The heritage symbol to reinforce our commitment to our culture, and the book to reinforce our commitment to knowledge and a life of learning. Two supplementary symbols are the bandana and a poster, or representation of the Nguzo Saba. The bandana, the flag, colors of black, red, and green, symbolize black for our people, red for our struggle, and green for the hope and future that is fostered and forged in struggle. And the representation of the Nguzo Saba reaffirms their central role in our life and our struggle for the good world we all want, deserve to live in and leave as a legacy for future generations. These principles, as you know, are moja, which means to strive for and maintain unity in the family, community, and race. I'm saying this again. Umoja means to strive for and maintain unity in the family, community, nation, and race. Second principle, Kuja Chakalia, means to define ourselves, name ourselves, create for ourselves, and speak for ourselves. And I want to stress that you always give these definitions because these are the ones that unite us. Then you can add whatever you want, but always begin with these and then say what your interpretation of them. Ujima means to build and maintain our community together and to make our brothers and sisters' problems and our problems. To make our brothers and sisters' problems our problems and to solve them together. To build and maintain our community together and make our brothers and sisters' problems our problems and to solve them together. Ujamaa, cooperative economic, means to build and maintain our own stores, shops, and other business and to profit from them together. Near purpose, to make our collective vocation the building and development of our community in order to restore our people to their traditional greatness. Goomba creativity calls us to do always as much as we can in the way we can in order to leave our community more beautiful and beneficial than we inherited. And Imani calls on us to believe with all our heart in our people, our parents, our teachers, our leaders, and it's the righteousness and victory of our struggle. Let me close by saying this is our duty then, to know our past and honor it, to engage our present and improve it, and to imagine a whole new future and to forge it in the most ethical, effective, and expansive way. I ended early so we can, and this too, continue to struggle, keep the faith, hold the line, love and respect our people and each other, practice Nguzo Saba, seek and speak truth, do and demand justice, be constantly concerned with the well-being of the world and all in it, and there help rebuild the overarching movement that prefigures and makes possible the good world we all want and deserve to live in and leave as a legacy worthy of the name and history Africa. We say to you, here is our Kwanzaa, happy Kwanzaa, and in the tradition of our ancestors, we wish for you all and African people all through the world, all the good that heaven grants, the earth produces, and the waters bring forth from their depth. Asante sana. Oh, let me just show you. Teach. And you can get information at official Kwanzaa website, at mine, or and also order the thing, the items, Kwanzaa items from the University of St. Croix Press.
Asante sana, Malan, for an excellent presentation. We want to really thank you, the organization, us that's here also, and it's Sabatis that's here. We want to expect all the guests that have tuned in to get this lecture and Hope that they all benefit from the richness and the goodness of your presentation. We're going to start with some questions, get started. Brother Ernest, do you have any questions?
No, not at this time. I'm still just, because I used to listen to Dr. Karanga back in the 60s, late at night. He came on a radio show at midnight, and my wife and I, boy, we couldn't wait to hear. So,
all right,
excellent good. Presentation.
Okay. Brother Ahi from Detroit, you there? You're on mute, Ahi. I guess he's.
I'm sorry, Brother.
Yeah.
I have to take care of something.
Okay. Yes. Okay. let me see. Brother Reginald Muhammad. Any question?
Not yet, sir.
Okay, then. Anybody else? Just raise your hand or a symbol. Dr. Segun Shabaka, are you here from New York? Mm-hmm. Segun, you're on mute. Dr. Segun?
Okay.
Okay. What about you, Mashinda? Any questions?
Professor Ra, I have a question.
Go ahead.
Asante Sana.
Yeah,
this is Sebi Chimbuko from the African American Cultural Center, US. Dr. Karanga, there was a time when people would say, how can Kwanzaa help deal with the issue of teenage pregnancy or gang violence? They would take a social issue and ask you, how can Kwanzaa help solve that?
Mm.
And my question to you, Dr. Karanga, is when you talk about Kwanzaa being an act of freedom, an instrument of freedom, celebration of freedom. So Kwanzaa as an instrument of freedom. Well, first let me say that when people would ask you that question, you would often say, well, this is a holiday. That's just like asking, how can Christmas solve teenage pregnancy among white teens or Christian teens? You know, how can Christmas solve that? You know, you don't ask a holiday to solve social challenges. But when we hear and understand Kwanzaa as an instrument of freedom, it seems like Kwanzaa is not like other holidays in that sense, in the sense that as an instrument of freedom, if I understand it correctly, it's an instrument that raises our consciousness as a people. And so in some ways, it seems like Kwanzaa can address itself to social issues, unlike maybe other holidays can't. I wanted to ask if you would address that, Tafadala.
Well, first of all, it's not the holiday that solves problems. The holiday pulls us together to reaffirm the bonds between us, right? To show special reverence for the Creator and the creation, to commemorate the past, to recommit ourselves to our highest cultural values, and to celebrate the good. Inside that, when we raise up our highest values, then Guzo Saba is at the center of those. And all those other things like truth and justice and equality, they are things that require our unity for them to be as effective as they need to be. Because we need a community that is self-conscious and can construct itself. But if it's not self-conscious of itself, it can't be for itself. It'll be against itself. And it will engage in what Haji Malcolm called self-injury, zum al-nafs in Arabic. But it means to injure ourselves. But in injuring ourselves, as I pointed in my book on it, means also injuring each other. Because if I injure you, I've injured myself. I've injured a brother, I've injured a sister, I've injured a fellow human being that could help me build a good life we all want and deserve, a free life, a dignity-affirming, life-enhancing, world-preserving way of being African and human in the world. So Kwanzaa, as an instrument of struggle, speaks to, right, conscious raising, but it also speaks to consciousness of the values and the practice of them. So it moves then to, right, the practice of freedom. And it calls us to learn these values. Stop saying we know them. Stop saying, oh, I've always celebrated Kwanzaa. And if you don't know these symbols, if you don't know the philosophy behind Kwanzaa, if you don't speak to your brothers and sisters about how to be stronger in our unity, umoja, in our self-determination, not letting the oppressor be our teacher, huh? That's so important, right?
Yeah.
Ujima, working together to build the good world we all want and deserve. Ujamaa, shared wealth and shared work and shared wealth, right? That's what we got to struggle for. Not capitalism, not a comfortable place in oppression, but a self-determining condition of life. And also the Nia, can we work for each other? Can we want to return our people to their traditional greatness as bringers of good in the world, right? That's it, because, you know, our sacred texts tell us that the wise are known by their wisdom, but the great are known by their good deeds. And that at the source of our greatness is always service. And even as Nana Marcus Garvey said, right, the only aristocracy is one based on service. And we say, there's no royalty except in righteousness. Mm-hmm. So it's the practice of the principles, Sabe Chimbuko, that solves the problems. It's freeing the heart and mind that lays the basis for solving the problems. So that's how that works. So it's an interrelated practice, you know, of being, what is this we're talking about? Being, first of all, an act of freedom. To, you know, just to celebrate yourself and not try to let the white man make you just dance and not talk about what the values are. The reason that the white man comes here and gets black people to talk about, oh, it's gangs and all that. Well, you know, guess what? We've got to talk about something good. We've got to have a model of human possibility. What the black people need, what our people need, even what the world needs, is a sense of possibility, a sense of beauty, a sense that they can create a good world that we all want and deserve to live in and leave as a legacy. When do we talk about that? Why do we keep going over and over how pathological the oppressor makes us? When do we talk about success? When do we give a conversation about the goodness of being black in the world? Not the pathology, not the problems of being black. That's the European making us a problem when he, in fact, is the problem. Our oppressor is the problem, not us. We don't even have no problem. It's the oppressor, don't make them for it. Rescue me if I'm wrong. The big problems of the world, racism, classism, sexism, ageism, you know, all ableism, all those things are constraints on human freedom, right? And the question is, how do we expand the realm of human freedom? And how does Kwanzaa and the celebration of that contributes to it? If we celebrate it right, and we celebrate it as a celebration of freedom and the practice of freedom, and use the principles as an instrument of freedom, and remember its origin as an act of freedom, then we duplicate it and continue to struggle, keep the faith, and hold the line. That's what we do.
Teach, that's an excellent answer. Rasha Key, you have any questions?
No questions, just enjoying the lecture.
All excellent. Right, good, good. Javion, do you have a question?
I don't feel like I'm qualified enough, but I just enjoy the time being here and listening to Dr. Kringa. It's always an honor.
All right, then. Good. Kumba, do you have a question?
Sebastian, tonight, you had one?
Santi Sabo Malana, appreciating what you asked.
Oh, wait a minute. Brother Roger, the person you asked?
He didn't say nothing, but go ahead tonight.
Okay.
Santi Professor Ra for this beautiful program, and Asante to you, Sabo Malana, for your beautiful presentation. And I was thinking back about what you had said, Sabo Malana, about retrieving the best. Kwanzaa retrieves the best of our views, values, and practices. And you may have mentioned it, Sabo Malana. I may have missed it. If you would speak to what you mean by the best of our views, what does that mean, views? And then I was thinking about the practices and the many practices that you mentioned. I was thinking about setting up the actual Kwanzaa set as a practice. And looking at your beautiful slides, I was looking at especially the slides with the Kwanzaa sets and the different slides that you had of the mazal, the fruit, and just how beautiful the fruit looked and just how fresh and nice it looked. And it just looked just so pretty. And so it's an actual practice to actually to set up the actual Kwanzaa set. And so I was going to ask you if you would speak to the importance of when you're setting up your Kwanzaa set, how it should have a certain look, even if when you're lighting the candles, not necessarily the order, stressing the order that you light the candles, but even
lighting the device that
the lighting the candles itself and the device that you may use to light the candle, but just stressing the beauty and the Kwanzaa set and the lighting of the candles, Sabo Malana. Sante sana.
Yeah, but I think it's so important for us to remember that if we really hold things sacred, if we really take things seriously, we don't want to degrade them. We don't want to violate them. We don't diminish their value. We want to hold them up. And so I have said to people, when you approach Kwanzaa, make sure you reaffirm three things: its integrity, its beauty, and its expansive meaning. So that means that we come to the Kwanzaa holiday with a spirit of specialness, a spirit of specialness. And we want to bring the best of our understanding of it. That means studying and stop saying, I just know, right? And you don't need to do that. We're the people who wrote the first books. We're the ones who said, better's a book than a well-built house. Better's a book than a memorial plaque in the temple. Don't say you're wise, but rather set yourself to learn and to become learned. Study the structure and function of the earth. Study the structure and function of the heavens. But in all your learning, develop character. For it is in the development of character that instruction, education succeeds. Be a good person in the world. That's what we're aiming at with all education. Because even if you have knowledge, deep scientific knowledge, you'll be like our oppressor. Knowledge about how to kill people, how to make war, how to commit genocide and just try to justify it. To create bombs instead of new medicines to save lives, build houses, new schools, right? You can have the knowledge, you can have scientific knowledge, but if you don't have character, you got a problem. So we come to the holiday with a special sense that this is us we're celebrating. And we want the best for ourselves. So don't bring plastic fruit. It's not fruit anyhow. This is plastic. I don't know what we can call it. Plastic substitutes for fruit. Right? And the oppressor is an artificial person. So they're committed to artificiality of life. Right? And so they're going to always push artificiality. But we must be the real people. We must be committed to a humanity that does not substitute itself for other things, for things, right? So even lighting a candle, as you said, use a match. Don't use a cigarette lighter. Hey, that's introducing another thing in you. So you smoke, you shouldn't smoke, right? I mean, we should say this a long time ago. And certainly the messenger in the Nation of Islam told people not to smoke early. People used to think that was wrong. Now, the white man, okay, I'm so used to talking sixes. Let me change it. The established order has said it's medically unsafe and even deleterious of your health, right? In fact, so detrimental, it could kill you.
That's right.
Now people say, oh, okay. But before, it's like somebody doing something to them to tell them what's healthy. So I just think it's very important for us to ask ourselves, what is the best way to celebrate this beautiful holiday shared by millions of Africans throughout the world, African community, on every continent in the world, right? At the same time, just think about that. What else unites Black people like that? So you come to that table ready. You bring your best cloths. You find the best mat you can. You have a nice cup. Don't be bringing no plastic bottles of water to do libation. Do that. Bring a cup. Bring something nice. And if it don't look nice, wrap a piece of a nice kente cloth around it. Adorn it like you adorn yourself. Something you got on, you want to look better, you adorn it, don't you? Excuse me,
yes,
my brother. Did I miss something here?
Yes,
right? That's because you value yourself. You want to look good, right? So I just want you to see how important it is. And when you do it, you feel better about yourself. Timothy and I went, you know, we traveled a lot. We went to a celebration in New Jersey. And, you know, New Jersey, I mean, we were in, I don't know, outside of Newark somewhere. But the brothers, they came right from the farm. They brought the brought the things. They just pulled up. They didn't even bother to wash them. I liked it because they were, like, doing natural. But I thought maybe they should stop and at least wash the turnips and the rest of the things that they brought and make them look alive and nice. You know what I mean? Now, you know, you ever notice that the, what do you call those places? I don't know why my thing keeps doing it. You know, you ever notice the supermarkets, even when their things look bad, they be putting water on them to make them look bad. They might be going, we don't do it for that. We do it because we are interested in beauty. And we want our things to look the best they can, choosing the best fruit. You ask me what I mean by the best views and values. Those that ensure and advance human good and the well-being of the world, that promote human life and human development. That's what I think are our best views. So you ask every time, is this view I hold dignity affirming? Second, is it life enhancing? And is it world preserving? We've got to think about the environment, not just because we got issues of climate change. We should have thought about it before the issues. You know, we got predation and pollution and depletion we've got to deal with. Most of the time I say plunder, pollution, and depletion. The man, the guy is plundering the earth and with it polluting it and depleting it and leaving the earth bare and changing the seasons and producing extreme weather conditions. What is our position on that? So Kwanzaa is a time to think about this in a special way. And we should each year have something to demonstrate our reaffirmation of the sacredness of the earth and its relevance, not only in our lives, but in our very existence. So come to the table, thinking the best, singing the best, dancing the best. Celebrate ourselves, our beautiful, sacred, soulful, resourceful, and resilient self. And you come to the table, Kawita says, our philosophy, realizing that no history is more sacred than our own, nor people more holy or chosen than we are, right? So we're not junior brothers to anybody. We don't walk in the shadow of anyone, right? And we reaffirm this principle that each people and culture is a unique and equally valid and valuable way of being human in the world. We say this for ourselves. We say this for everybody, that each people and culture is a unique and equally valid and valuable way of being human in the world. So come with a sense of beauty and specialness.
Asante Sana, Dr. Karenga.
Asante, Mala. I got a couple questions, Mala.
Yeah, bro, Brother Reginald. How is Anna?
This is Professor Rock.
No, I was saying, you want to?
Okay, Reginald, go ahead.
Yes, Timon.
You still on mute?
I'm mute, Brother Reginald.
Okay. First off, Dr. Karenga.
Say what you go.
Dr. Karenga, can you all hear me?
Yes, I can.
First off, I want to say thank you, Doc.
Could you? I got an emergency. Yes, I need to step off a minute. I'll be right back.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Shagun, could you take this question and I'll do it when I come back.
Professor Rod, you want me to wait and ask the question when Dr. Karenga comes back?
You're on mute, Rob.
I thought I was off mute.
No,
wrong.
I'll just wait
because I wanted to.
Okay, forget from Dr. Crane. Okay.
Yeah.
Sabate, Dr. Segun, you on mute. Can you hear me, Dr. Segun? Okay, Chimbuku, you there, Chimbuku? Sabate Chimbuku? All right. Is Talibu still here?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Talibu, I want you to, would you please explain what days do we celebrate Kwanzaa?
Appreciating what you asked, Professor Roth, if I understand you correctly. We celebrate it from December 26th through January 1st.
Yebo, Asante for that, Saber Tulivu.
Yebo, go ahead, Saber Chibuka.
No, I'll just build on what you said, Asante, Professor Ra, and those dates never change. You know, some holidays will change to different dates. It'll be like, you know, the fourth Thursday of the month, and so it may be a different month. I mean, a different day, different years, but on Kwanzaa, it's always December the 26th through January 1st. And as Dr. Crane explained, he based Kwanzaa on first fruit celebrations on the continent of Africa. And those celebrations take place at the end of one year and at the beginning of another year. And so that's why Kwanzaa takes place on those dates at the end of a year. We say it's when the joining of the two ends, 2 years come together, the 2 years meet, the end of one and the beginning of another year. And again, that speaks to the holiday's authenticity, and that is based on African first harvest celebrations, which is when they took place. Because some people will say, well, why'd you put a harvest celebration in winter? Well, it's not winter on the continent.
That's right.
And so, again, that's the reasoning behind Dr. Kringer's choosing of the end of the year and the beginning of the next year. But Brother Reginald, let's hear what your question is, because maybe we could at least have a conversation. We could start a conversation and Dr. Kring can finish it.
Okay. First off, I want to thank you all for being on, and because I know Dr. Karenga has an awesome team at the center there. And I want to thank you all because I reached out to you all a few weeks ago and y'all got back to me on the I needed a little bit more definitive definition. Formal definition on culture crisis, and you all got that information back to me. I was headed down to Southern University to do a pre-Kwanzaa, and I wanted to make sure I had that information. And I just want to thank you all anytime I call the center for being thorough and professional and just the body of work that y'all have consistently done. I just wanted to say that to each and every one of you all publicly and to Dr. Karenga. Because again, we all have benefited from it. I wanted to ask Dr. Karenga, what is it that he see that he would like those of us to improve on, those of us who are teaching, whether it's people in the community, on the campus, or wherever we're teaching, even on the continent. What would he like to see us do to make sure that we're deliberately and applying what he has attempted to build for nearly 60 years with the practice of Kwanzaa? And I know, number one, the base is the Nguza Sabo, the seven principles. But what would he like to see to improve on that and to even enhance it, to make it even more comprehensive? What are maybe a few suggestions that he would have that he does not see that we can actually improve on? I should say, what is it that we can actually improve on? Those of us around the country, and I know you all see people all the time, whether they lay people, professional people, working people, attempting to practice Kwanzaa, and I know there are times of like, man, this is what they should, you know, consider implementing in that process. Does that make sense? The question.
Yes.
Oh, there you go.
Uh-huh. Appreciate what you've asked, Brother Reverend Feinstein, correctly. What I want to do is change the language.
Yes, sir.
I'm not attempting to do anything. I'm building.
Yes,
and
sir.
We're building, and Black people are building. So if we phrase it in a diminished way, it's never like we're going to ever do enough. What we want to do is build on the best of what we already have.
Yes, sir.
But first, let's say we're building. Let's first say we're doing something.
Yes, sir.
Because if we're always somehow less than, it just takes away the beauty of it. And
yes,
we get back to talking pathology rather than development.
Yes, sir. Okay.
And that's so important. And so the question you raise is, what else can be done? We got to continue to study.
Yes, sir.
We've got to continue to build on best practices. Black people who have been doing this. This is a 60th year of the Nguzo Saba and the 59th year of Kwanzaa.
Kwanzaa, yes, sir.
Next year is 60th anniversary.
Yes, sir.
It's a long time.
Yes, sir.
That's a long time. And to do millions without advertisement, without asking the white man or his agent to help us or to do this, yes, or that. So that's the first thing we've got to do.
Yes,
is,
sir,
realize our victory, realize, yes, our achievement, and teach that achievement as a model to emulate.
Yes, sir.
To build on. That's the first thing in the answer of your question. The
yes, sir. Thank you.
The first thing is to recognize what we've achieved and call Black people to continue the struggle, keep the faith, and hold the line. Continue,
yes,
the struggle for excellence. Keep,
yes,
the faith in our ability to create a new world. As a messenger used to say, we want a new earth and a new us. And,
yes,
if we're going to have a new earth and a new us, we have to be new first.
That's right.
Can't make a new earth if we don't at the same time make a new us. And so I think it's very important to see Kwanzaa and the Nguzo Saba as a Black value system that has,
yes,
united us,
yes,
in,
right,
ways that no other value system had, across class lines, religious lines, age and generation line, gender lines, right?
Yes,
all
sir.
These African people with all that diversity, all them different, and actually celebrate and practice. So the question is, how do we get the people who have talent to do more?
Yes, sir.
Represent the, yeah, finest aspects of Kwanzaa.
Yes, sir.
We have to, though, before we do all of that, make sure we ourselves, who want to do all this, prepare ourselves. So everybody,
yes,
on the road, on the screen here, must study more and be able to explain that, similar to where I'm doing it. You won't do it like I do it, because I'm coming from a different space. But,
yes,
you,
sir,
can do it in an excellent way, in,
yes,
your,
sir,
own beautiful way.
Yes, sir.
That's what I need. I need, when you come to me the next year, I want you to ask me a question about Kwanzaa. I shouldn't say that. I want you to ask me a question about Kwanzaa, about the doctrine, about the origin, about the beauty of,
yes,
it.
Sir.
Do you understand? Because otherwise, we're going to get into a deficiency conversation. That's all. But I really appreciate what you did.
Thank you, Doc.
Reverend, for asking the question. The question is a good one, and it gave me a chance to talk about it. So in the beginning, let's study.
Yes, sir.
Let's find other people who are celebrating, and let's carry what we're talking now. You see,
yes, sir.
People always talk about the origin of religions, the small group of people Jesus had, the small group of people that the Prophet Muhammad had, the
yes,
small
sir.
Group of people that Buddha had, and it turned into world.
That's right.
But we forget we can do that.
Yes, sir.
That's how the revolt started, with people standing up. The small group around Nana Harriet Tubman, the group around Nana Nat Turner, and Nana Denmark Vesey, and Nana Gabriel, and Nana Prosser, right? This is a small group, and they blossom out. And the Black Freedom Movement started with small group.
Yes, sir.
People refusing to cooperate, to collaborate in their own oppression.
Yes, sir.
That's the beauty of it. And we've got to build that. Every big movement starts with a seed. And I think we should be that seed. Those of us who are conscious. Yes, Brother Reverend.
Oh, one other thing, Dr. Karinga, I just wanted to thank you, too, because we made sure that we recognize your body of work. This year was the 30th anniversary of the Million Man March. And
yes.
So the number of lectures that we did, we made sure that the people knew that the official document that you penned, brother, that we're still utilizing it, brother. And we just want to, again, thank you for the contribution, and Dr. Karinga. And I remember more than 26 years ago, I came by your office at Cal State Long Beach, and thank you for the time that you gave me in your office. And we just appreciate that, Doc. And we
and
never forgot
for
that.
The visit. And
yes,
thank you for the narrative. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
And continue to struggle, keep the faith, and hold the line.
Yes, sir.
Very mild honor.
Professor Rye, yes.
Yeah. Could you, I got about a series of short questions. The first one, you know, I've been at the center and been studying, celebrating Kwanzaa with the organization and us for years, since 79. I just want to ask you a question. The significance of the 26th and the 31st of the days that we celebrate Kwanzaa, Umoja Night and the Karamu. Could you explain those two?
Mm-hmm. Appreciate what you said, if I didn't say, Grant. I wanted a holiday after the consumerism of Christmas.
Okay.
I wanted a holiday at the end of the year, because that's a time in African culture for making decisions. I remember reading long time ago, it says that, you know, the Akan people, they were talking about the year's end, and they say the edges of the year have met, and we pray for the welfare and well-being of the people, right? And then they give a long prayer about it. Everyone does the end of the year as a time to reflect on what has been done and to make resolutions about what is to be done. That's why you have New Year's resolutions and all that. So I wanted us to have a time for reflection. And on the last day of Kwanzaa, January 1st, we start with Umoja Night. That's the first principle. So the first night is Umoja Night, right? We got to start with unity, because without unity, there's no holiday. There's no family. There's no community. There's no friendship, right? There's no brotherhood or sisterhood. Excuse me if I'm wrong, right? So we have a night for that, right? That starts it off. And then we end with Siku ya Tamuli. That is a day of meditation. And there we're supposed to sit down, Professor Rye and everyone else. We're supposed to sit down and meditate on the awesome meaning of being African in the world. I mean, do we take ourselves seriously, right? What does it mean to be an African? What does it mean to be the fathers and mothers of humanity and human civilization? What does it mean to be the sons and daughters of the Holocaust of enslavement? What does it mean to be the authors and heirs of the reaffirmation of our Africanness and our Black radical tradition of the 60s. What does that mean? You know, and we have to learn a lesson. And we do that by asking three fundamental questions on January 1st, sitting down reflecting. Who am I? Am I really who I am? And am I all I ought to be? Who am I? Not who's on your license or some other ID card, but who are you in community? How do you stand among men and women of the world? How do you stand? How do you know yourself? What do you know about your people? What history do you bring to the table? Because that identity will give you purpose, and that purpose will lead you to your direction. We're talking identity, purpose, and direction. So I'm asking, who am I, right? Because that's going to determine my identity, and that's going to also indicate my purpose and my direction. Second question, am I really who I am? Nana Fanon says we wear the mask, that the white man's oppression is so intense on us, we find ourselves, masking our intelligence and dancing to please and singing to please an indifferent world, right? We find ourselves taking the mask of the three identities he gave us as objects when he enslaved us. Objects of labor, objects of sex, and objects of entertainment, right? So who are you among men and women of the world and of your community? You know, and am I really who I am? When you say I'm Black, what does that mean? How do you know the genuine? Now people get around it. Oh, it's many ways to be Black. Yeah, okay, but that's some core thing. Otherwise, don't call Black. If that's not enough characteristics of Black to call people Black, we don't have no Blackness. The very fact that you attribute a name to people means you've already identified enough characteristics to make that thing what it is. So if we call something a chair, you know that's characteristics of a chair that make the chair the chair. A watermelon, you know. There's things that make the watermelon a watermelon. And there are things that make Black people Black.
Peace.
We've got to see that. We can't even argue about identity. We can get so way out and have these 50 different identities, but the world and history makes you Black. And when the white man crushes down on you, ask Michael, ask Bill Cosby and Michael Jackson and what's the other brother's name? Ran in the Jeep. OJ, that's all of them.
The Jeep.
No matter how far they roam.
Teach my line.
He'll find out there's no place like home. Rescue if I'm wrong, right? So I just want us to do. Who am I? Am I really who I am? And then finally, am I all I ought to be? That's something, you know? Because, you know, our children start out brilliant. And by the third grade, the oppressor destroys their spirit. And sometimes, if they're not careful, they will let the oppressor be their teacher. And the preacher said, the oppressor said, you're not school material. You need to try to do something physical. You don't need to go to college. You need to go to vocation school. You know, that's what they say. So our oppressor can't be our teacher. We must be all we are, all we can become. And African must always mean excellent. If African don't mean excellent, what does it mean? That's how we have to say.
Teach so my line.
Professor Red, that's
question,
why.
My line, two quick questions. You can ask them, I'm going to ask them both at the same time. Why is there two A's in Kwanzaa, because, you know, it's really spelled with one A, and why did the organization put an extra A in it to make it seven? And then second, why don't we put grapes in along with the fruit?
Yeah. Appreciate what you said, if I understand correctly. The first is making the decision that puts people over everything. In other words, at the beginning of our organization, we had in the beginning of the first celebration of Kwanzaa, there were seven children that wanted to do an acrostic. There were seven, but there was only six words in Kwanzaa, which is the word for first in Swahili. I added an A, right? So that child could participate, showing that the person is more important than whatever point we want to make about grammar or spelling or whatever. We can make language the way we want it. So I constructed the word, Kwanzaa. Yeah, that's it. And then the other question. Professor Rye, what was your second question?
Asante, appreciate what you asked, if I understand correctly, Maulana. Why do we, one of the practices is not to use grapes when you put up the fruit?
Yeah, so in the 60s, we didn't use grapes. Now it doesn't matter because there's no strike, but we showed solidarity in Third World Struggle. See, we argued in the 60s with Haji Malcolm, Nana W.B. Du Bois, Nana Mary McLeod Bethune, all the black people talked about unity of the dark peoples of the world. Now we say people of color of the world, right? And so one of the struggles going on was the struggle of the United Farm Workers. The majority of those were Latinos, but they were also maybe almost half Filipino, and then there were some blacks. But even when people don't know they were black, just to show solidarity with the Latinos and the Filipinos, because they built the union together. A lot of people think it's just the Latinos, but it's Filipinos. The Filipinos had the first labor union in the farm workers, and they merged with the Latinos under the leadership of Cesar Chavez. And so what we wanted to do was show solidarity. And one of those was they were boycotting grapes and we boycotted grapes. And so in that boycott, we would not put grapes on a Kwanzaa set. Now that that boycott is over, people can buy whatever fruit they want. But I wouldn't, even then, I chose what company I buy things from. For example, I would never put Chiquita bananas on a set. They destroyed the Caribbean economies of banana. You know that. I mean, that was devastating to them. Randall Robertson, Randall Robertson writes about this, you know. It's like it was a terrible thing. So I can't forget that. And if I want a banana, I get it from another company. So it's just being conscious and being a part of the struggle for a new world, a struggle to expand the realm of freedom and goodness in the world. And know that that is our historical mission. Our sacred text, Odu Ifa says, one of our sacred texts, just like Hosea is the other one, it says that let's do things with joy, for surely humans have been divinely chosen to bring good into the world. And we say, this is the fundamental mission and meaning of human life. So that's why we took the grapes and out of any consideration for being a part of our Kwanzaa set. And even now, at our house, we still don't, even though the boycott's over, just as a historical marker and memory, we don't put the grapes. Even though I eat grapes, I don't put them on the set. It's just, you know, like carrying the struggle forward.
Yebo, Asante, one more question is, it keep muting me and made me forget what my question was, and it was very important from the standpoint of Kwanzaa. How important is the Karamu, Maulana?
Well, it's good because one of the most important ways to bond between people is breaking bread, to eat, to sit down and enjoy a meal together. And, you know, like television and stuff, you know, like, took us away from that, and fast foods and stuff took us. But that used to be a unifying force in my mother and father's house, you know? And in all my neighbors, our neighbors' houses, it was something to go over and break bread with people. There was a joy in seeing them and the pleasure in tasting new foods that they had. But just being in their company, you know what I mean? And doing something pleasurable. To have a long conversation that you don't have time for any other place, right? That's what the karamu is. And the karamu is also a time for singing and dancing and telling narratives of ourselves in history. Beautiful stories, reading poetry, singing songs, doing dances, beating, doing drum beats, you know, just celebrating and singing ourselves, you know, dancing to the beauty, sacredness of ourselves, you know. Yeah, the karamu is a good place. That's the central and culminating event for the holiday, is the karamu, just before the day of meditation. That's how we end the holiday.
Asante for that, Marlon. Just the last question is, if maybe one of the advocates, could, maybe Sanifu or Timbu, could tell people where they can get or buy a official Kwanzaa setup. If someone could tell the people that's online where they can come or how they can contact the organization or the center, the culture center, to get a official Kwanzaa set and go and get gifts for Kwanzaa or for whatever day they want to get them.
And I want to call attention to how Professor Rye said a Kwanzaa set, not a kit. That's popular culture. That diminishes the set. It's not a kit. We're not trying to fix up something, you know? It's a set. And you adorn a set. A kit is a toolbox kind of thing. So always watch your language, because your language can entrap you or liberate you. It can lift you up or press you down. So, Sebuchimbuko, are you there?
Yeah, boy, I'm here. And Asante Sana, Dr. Karinga, people can go, and Asante Professor Ra, people can contact the African American Cultural Center -la.org, African American Cultural Center -la.org to get information. And before we close out, Tavadali, Professor Ra, I would like to announce our upcoming Kwanzaa events, or at least a couple of them, so that people can know and participate, Tafadali, whenever is the appropriate time. Tanai, are you there with us?
Santi Sebutimbuko, I'm here.
Okay, Santi Sani. Is this a good time, Professor Ra?
Professor Ra, you on mute.
Yeah, bro, that keep mute me because there's an echo.
Oh, so, okay.
So, but go ahead, Tanai Sabate Tanai or Sabate Timbuku. I mean, Saber Timbuku.
Yeah, but I just called to your attention, so if you were talking and didn't know you were on mute, but go on. I know you have to be on mute. I was just saying. Yeah, okay, so who wants to announce that before we go to the next question? Then I think I'm going to have to leave shortly.
Sante Saber Malana, Sante Professor Ra. Appreciating what's been said, if I understand it correctly. Sante again, Professor Ra, for this beautiful program, and Sante to you, Seba Maulana, for your beautiful Kwanzaa presentation. We'd like to invite you all to come join us this coming Sunday, December the 21st, for our soul session at 3 p.m. Pacific time, where Seba Dr. Maulana is going to be lecturing. And Seba Maulana's theme for this year is practicing the seven principles in dimly lit times. Lifting up the light, hurrying the dawn. Again, practicing the seven principles in dimly lit times. Lifting up the light, hurrying the dawn. So this will be Seba Maulana's lecture this coming Sunday, December the 21st at 3 p.m. Please check your emails for the announcement. And also on December the 26th, the first night of Kwanzaa, we will be having our Umoja Night Kwanzaa celebration at the center, at the African American Cultural Center. That's again December 26th, Umoja Night at the center, the African American Cultural Center. Again, please check your email for the announcements. Asante Sana.
Asante to us all. Asante.
Dr. Kering, I know Brother Reginald's hand went up earlier.
Lisa May Tafadali, I just wanted to add one thing, if I may, just so there's no confusion. Santi Sana tonight for making the announcements. And I just want to note that Dr. Karinga's lecture this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock, as Tanai said, that's a virtual event. And so if you contact the African American Cultural Center -la.org, we can send you the link. African American Cultural Center -la.org. We can send you the link. That's virtual. You can invite your family and friends for them to hear the lecture by the creator of Kwanzaa. And then on the 26th, that's an in-person event at the African American Cultural Center. But to get more information on that event, also you can go to African American Cultural Center -la.org. Asante Sana.
Asante Seba Chimbuko.
Asante Seba Chimbuko. Asante Seba tonight. And I just want to say about my lecture, each year I choose a theme for Kwanzaa, right? And then I lecture on that. So this December, this Sunday coming up, I'm going to lecture on the theme. And the theme is the title that Tanai gave you, which is Practicing the Seven Principles in Dimly Lit Times. Lifting up the light, hearing the dawn. And so when we practice these principles in dimly lit times, what does that mean? Dimly lit times refer to the shadow and the opaqueness, the chaos and confusion that is overcasting the whole land. And in the midst of this dimly lit situation, we are to lift up the light that lasts. And the light that lasts are our moral and spiritual values. And at the core of those, I'm going to argue, are the seven principles. That yes. Unity is a moral principle. That we cannot practice any of our faith without unity.
Yes, right.
There is no way you can argue practicing the faith by yourself except an extreme circumstance. And even then, you refer to other people, even if it's just to the founder of the religion. Rescue me if I'm wrong. We are always in relationship, right?
Yes. And yes, so sir.
Umoja becomes a moral principle to build the community, to family, the community, and world we want and deserve to live in. And then I say, not only lift up the light, but herald the dawn. In Dr. Du Bois's teachings, Nana Dr. W.B. Du Bois, he said, during the darkness of the Holocaust of enslavement, our people kept hope and sang to sunshine. And I say, we not only must sing to sunshine, we must become the sunshine. That's us. And we must live the life that lights up the principles our ancestors gave us toward a new and more beautiful world. We must light the way forward. We must light the way forward. And we hurry the dawn only through righteous and relentless struggle. So that's what I'm going to talk about. Any last thing, Professor Rob, before we cut out?
My honor, brother Reginald's hand is up.
Go ahead, Reginald.
You're on mute, brother Reginald.
Dr. Karinga, again, thank you for everything and your great body of work. Dr. Karinga, is there a in the future, with all the books that you have written, is there an autobiography penned by you coming in the future?
I wanted to do that within the next year.
Okay, yes, sir.
I think it's important.
Yeah, it seriously important. And thank you for doing that, Dr. Karinga, because I think, again, it will connect that next generation along with the, digital version of the book and everything else. And again, we would love to see it and support it and buy it, Dr. Karinga, and allow you to tell your story. There are a lot of people who have interpreted the story in the various parts of your history, the various vicissitudes of your history. But again, we would appreciate it and love and certainly purchase that and have my students read it at the at Clark Atlanta University at the AU Center when it comes out. And again, thank you. We're grateful and appreciative, sir.
Hey, Bo. Yeah. So at the heart of my life has been righteous and relentless struggle. That's the good of all that I do, the struggle to expand the realm of freedom and justice and goodness in the world. This is my duty. This is my commitment. And in doing that, I honor my ancestors, right? So people, I want to just close by saying this. A lot of times people ask me, how have I gone this long? I mean, this is a, I mean, 60 years is what my organization has been. But even before then, I was organizing and teaching. But I marked my coming into larger consciousness with my organization, 1965, founding of our organization. And when they ask, why do I keep going? It's number one, because I feel a sense of joyful obligation to give what has been given to me. My ancestors are models and mirrors for me, models to emulate and mirrors by which I measure myself. And in the ethics of reciprocity, I give back what was given to me. I do it also for my mother and father and my family, right? Who my mother and father ancestors, may the joy they brought and the good they left last forever. But they brought me into being. Mm-hmm. They nurtured me and set me in motion on the upward path of our ancestors. And I'm forever grateful, and I can only pay them back by living the legacy they gave me as best as I can. I do it also for my organization. They believe in me. They count on me to be strong, to be knowing, to be helpful, to continue the struggle, to keep the faith and hold the line. I do it for my own identity because, hey, you know what? How would I know myself if I didn't do what I do? I know myself by my name, but my name are my obligations and my enjoyment of struggle. My first name, Maulana, is Master Teacher, given to me by the brothers and sisters of the organization. I love to teach. I'm going to teach regardless. You know, that's what I do, and I study to do it. My middle name is Indabizita, constant soldier, constant concern to the enemy. I'm going to always struggle. I'm a constant soldier, never unready, not even once, the sacred text said, to be a constant soldier, all-season soldier. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed the struggle. And then finally, of course, my last name I gave myself, the first two given to me by people in the movement. My last one I took myself, which is keeper of the tradition. I love to research our culture and to show new insights into what it means to be Black, what it means to be African in the world, the best of what it means to be African and human in the world. I enjoy that. And it's tied, of course, to my scholarship and to my struggle. So all the names are interrelated, and it's a joy for me. And of course, the final thing, of course, is I really want to always, and I've said this before, so it's a repetition, to make my own contribution even as I received my ancestors' contribution and my people's contribution. I want to leave a legacy worthy of the name and history African.
Mm-hmm. So I think Maulana, let's give Maulana a round of applause. We are, first of all, Rashiki.
La, la.
Rashiki, you want to tell them what's coming on
tomorrow? La la.
La la.
La la. La. We want, again, thank everybody for coming on. It's been a pleasure, all of you that's been here. Yeah, I know it's been a lesson for many of you. And we want to thank Dr. Karenga, my true and righteous best friend. Jeez. And brother that I seek knowledge from. He checks on my health every day. And I deeply appreciate that. And he supports me in so many ways. It's beyond words. And I just want to tell him how much I appreciate him and the organization, us, for being there and for all that they do.
And Brother Rod, I want to say I return that to you in equal measure. Mm-hmm. You've been a best friend and counselor. And, you know, I always tell people, you brought me to Cal State Long Beach. Taught me the policies and the ways of the campus and always was there to support me. And, you know, I admired you and admired the way you related to the students and how you were one of the most popular. You had the most popular volunteer classes and the most numerous students that volunteered. Other people had, you know, required classes, so that's different. But for people to line up, hundreds to line up for your classes every semester, it's always it was an inspiration to me. And I thank you, and I want people to know how many, I think thousands of people you have graduate. You know, you gave them extra time. You didn't just teach them in the classroom. You counseled them. You walked them through the system. And we are forever grateful to you. And I just want you to know that. You
appreciate it. La la, Professor Ra, la la.
Asante, you must be kind. And you know what you reciprocate because you have institutionalized and took our Black Studies Department that started in 1970. And now it's 2000 going to 2026. Without your intervention to give it academic excellence and cultural grounding and organization and got the state to accept giving each making it a requirement for students to take an ethnic studies class, building the ethnic studies class or that's taught by three teachers. You have done so much to institute Black Studies. It would not have lasted as long as it did once they once I left and you took over, that if it wasn't for you, you together we kept it going. But it was you,
La La, Dr. Karenga, La La, La La,
for making it what it is.
You laid the basis.
You built it in a way in which it can't fall. It's on a firm foundation. And I'm Asante to you for all you do, not just our department. Other people borrowed what you have done to our department to make their arguments for their departments.
That's right.
And that's why it's strong all over the country. Yabo, we want to say again, Asante to you. Everybody that turned in. We have a guest tomorrow night, Rashiki. You want to speak on that? Or you already put it up?
Professor Rob, just real quick.
Yes.
What a beautiful example of brotherhood. Black men appreciating and respecting and reaffirming each other just really is so inspiring. I just wanted to say that to Dr. Kring, you to see y'all's relationship like that is so beautiful. Asante,
Asante, Asante, Asante, Asante.
As Hushin said,
and my relationship is a love for the organization also, because y'all my brothers and sisters.
That's right,
and I know all of y'all. Care for about me and care about the people in general. You care mm-hmm. about all people. And I love all the ethics and values that we practice at the center toward each other. And it's a living practice, as Maulana say, of cultural love for each other and brother and sisterhood. But Rashiki, this is what we have tomorrow. Brother Sharara, okay. And Maulana, again, we want to thank you. Thank everyone that's tuned in. And thank everybody. I know you stayed up longer, Maulana. And we hope to have you back again to talk about your book that's coming out on Malcolm.
You know you got it. You know
The Ethics of Malcolm, when it first come out. And we want to thank again everyone for coming out. This has been one beautiful, beautiful presentation. And I just want to thank Marlon for giving up his special time because he, trust me, he is, in this time of the year, nothing but business. I mean, people calling up all over wanting to do presentations. And so, come out and travel and do those things. So, again, Asante Sana, Marlon, for the organization.
Thank you for the invitation and opportunity.
Yebo.
All right.
All right, tutai nana, everybody.
Nana.
Nothing but love.
Santé, son.
Take care.
All right.